Let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get to our study this morning. Our Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that your word is true, and it is that which transforms us by your power, dear Holy Spirit. We plead, Lord, that you'd meet with us. We plead that we would take heed to your word, that you would build us up in the most holy faith. We thank you for the freedom this morning to come and worship. We thank you, Lord, that you have given to us the faith to trust in you. All that happens, that we rest in you. You guide us. You instruct us. You protect us. You are our refuge. And so as we study your word, may it be a profitable time. In your name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Titus, the second chapter. I want to read two verses in that chapter. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. When we look at the basic position of the apostle, we see that he contrasts two relating to the Word of God. Back in chapter 1, he shows that there are those who dishonor the Word of God. There will always be in every generation those who enter the church teaching false doctrine. Very easy to do, for there are many motivations to do so. And to preach the Word of God aright takes the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of those who teach. Paul had encountered, as he addresses Titus, that there are those false teachers, where he says in Titus 1:10, for there are many insubordinate, many idle talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, says whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonor gain. They are entering in among the people of God, and they are seeking to sway households, families, to their teaching. And their teaching is contrary to sound doctrine. And it is all done in the light and motivation of material gain, distorting, watering down the gospel. We see it in our generation. We see it in our time. Very prevalent, whatever generation you are in. They're preaching the gospel is partly truth and partly fable. He shows the characteristics, verse 12 of chapter 1. One of them, a prophet of their own. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. You can count on that. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. You see, it's not that we can allow falsehood among ourselves. It is not that we think that being gracious is to overlook. We cannot do so. And at times, we must rebuke sharply. Now, generally, that is not taken very well from those who are false teachers. There can be anger. There can be much disturbance within the context of the church, but it must be done. And he says, listen, Titus, your responsibility is to see who they are, and having seen and heard and known the way that they teach, rebuke them sharply, not giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men who turn from the truth. They are somewhat in the truth. They are somewhat looked at as part of the church. But what they teach and what they bring before God's people is a mixture of truth and that of fables and that of commandments of men. The people of God must be careful to scrutinize those who preach and to see whether they are truly preaching the Word of God. Now, if it is for gain, and it is that they might get those things they desire in this life, whether it is riches, whether it's fame, whatever is the motivation, one thing you can count off in as they depart from the truth is that they will not preach a gospel that demands accountability. They will not teach a gospel that deals with sin. They will not teach a gospel where the terrors of hell are unfolded to the people, and certainly not to emphasize that without the Lord Jesus Christ, all are under, presently under, the wrath of Almighty God, in John 3, verse 36. Certainly, those things will not be taught, because there's no way that they want to disturb those to whom they speak. When they speak with the authority of a servant of the Lord, when they speak with any type of authority within the church, why, people generally listen, and generally they are taken up. But if you examine, it is simply Jewish fables, commandments of men, and they turn away from truth. He says, verse 15 of chapter 1, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. You can see this, then says Paul, because, you see, their profession shows to be empty, to be vain. Oh, they will stand and they will proclaim that they know God and they're servants of God and they are coming in the name of God, but their works deny Him. And one of the areas is the lack of teaching and preaching sound doctrine. They are abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work. Now, this is what the apostle has been dealing with as he addresses this letter to Titus. Second position that we see in contrast is that he encourages Titus that he and all those who come to a place of being considered as elders in the city must speak what is proper for sound doctrine. That's what you are looking for. So when a man says he's called to the ministry, and a man comes to enter into that ministry, there are areas of qualification regarding character and regarding work. But one of the things is in chapter 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, convict those who contradict. You cannot exhort with a good result of God dealing with the hearts of men if you are not teaching sound doctrine. It is by the word of God that the Spirit of God in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 sanctifies the people of God. He is a God of truth, and he deals in that context. So when men are considered for eldership and to be a pastor in a church, this is one thing that must be carefully assessed. Are they holding fast the faithful word? When they teach, it is truly the word of God and not the word of men. That's the contrast with those who falsely teach. They are teaching the commandments of men, verse 14 of chapter 1. So he addresses Titus. He says, as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Paul opens this area of sound doctrine to apply it and show a little bit what he means when he's speaking of sound doctrine. In the context of the Word of God, this is one thing you are to do. You are so to speak, so to teach, verse 2, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. He addresses, first of all, the older men. He will address the older women next. But when he speaks of the older men, he shows that no matter our age and how old we are, we never graduate from the school of Christ. You never fully arrive this side of glory. There is always more to do and more to learn. And so we have seen in Ephesians chapter 1, when this is the prayer of the Apostle Paul, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And as older men, you are basically to pursue, you are basically to pray that God would grant sound doctrine, the Word of God. And you see, for those who are older in faith, there should be a greater amount of understanding of the Word of God. Notice what he says regarding older women, which refers to the older men as well. He says in verse 3, in the latter part, not given to much wine, but teachers of good things. Whether you're an older man or whether an older woman, you have purpose. You have a place of ministry. And you have responsibility to teach good things. That is sound faith. That is what God says. Listen to Proverbs 16, where this is what we read regarding older men. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. When you are walking in righteousness, when you are a holy man, the gray hairs, he says in verse 31, reveal and is somewhat of a crown of glory. Why? Because where you are in the purposes of God. Why? Because of your experience in the cause of Christ. What do we say in our day in the church? You will hear in some churches this expression. You know what, congregation? We need new blood. We need young blood. That's what we need. If we're going to invigorate this work, we need the young. So, let us vote on a youth pastor, somebody that is young, can relate, as it were, to those who are young. The old. They're on the shelf. They don't have much purpose outside of giving money to the church. But the older men just sit. The older men, well, my life's gone. Let the young take over. Let the young get excited. That's what we need. Not so, says the Apostle Paul. Older men are not useless, but they should desire to leave a sweet scent of holy conduct in the wake of their life. This is what should characterize them, and characterize them as they have real purpose among the people of God, because like the older women, they are to be teachers of good things. Not simply to have good things, but to be teachers of good things. First characteristic of godliness is this, that the older men must be sober. Now, it was in that day as well as in our day, getting older, without much purpose, the end of your days, that being drunk was quite common. In that day, men were a laughingstock many times as the village drunk. They weren't clear-minded in the way that they thought. They weren't sober. And this corresponds to what he says regarding the women in verse 3, not given too much wine. They are to be sober as well. But for the older men, they are to be able to think aright, have their faculties fixed upon all that God has taught them, all that they have known throughout their Christian experience, and that in that context, they will be able to be teachers of good things. Sober. They are to be reverent. They are to be temperate. They're to show among the people of God what it truly means to fear God, to respect God, to be engaged with God, very temperate in how they act, worthy of respect. They're not silly, they're not vain, but when they speak, they speak truly sound doctrine. For you see, maturity is a gradual work of the Spirit of God. Now certainly there are older men who live in darkness and are brought out of that darkness into the marvelous light, and as older men they are simply babes in Christ, understanding that. But for those who have been brought to grace earlier in their life, and the Lord has preserved them, and now they sit in the context of the church as older men, maturity should be that which characterizes them. Not silliness, not vainness. They should be able to speak out of experience and out of the knowledge of the Word of God. Well, that's what he says when we continue. An older man must be sound in faith, not wishy-washy. He's able, as it were, to open up Scripture. He is not necessary to be a pastor to do this, or to have some elevated education to do this, simply by the teaching of the Holy Spirit throughout the years, molding, transforming, maturing, that he is able to teach, as it were, with what? Sound in faith, sound doctrine, with the Word of God, with a faith that is genuine, a faith that is right. And you see, an older man, most often, if he's been in grace for a long time, he has seen it all. He's seen all areas of sin. He may have experienced areas of sin. And therefore, he knows and understands the danger of sin, the power of sin, the deception of sin within the heart. And therefore, he has great love to the younger brethren because he knows that if it were not for the grace of God, yea, he would fall into the same sins. He has not only with that, but a patience. He understands that dealing with areas of sin is not dealt with overnight many times, that it takes hard fighting and work, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, a real fighting, and there is weariness, there's discouragement. He doesn't demand immediate departing from sin. Yes, we're to seek to turn from all sins. And yes, there are areas where God comes in such power that we do turn and that sin is mortified and killed. But there are other experiences that takes a lot of patience. Then there's patience in the very course of life, when sickness comes, when it is that trials and tribulations. He's been through it all. He's been through the trials. He's been through the tribulations. He has seen how God works. Become impatient when you're younger. Become discouraged when you're younger. Older men must not be put on the shelf and must not view themselves as useless. They have a wealth of knowledge. They have a wealth of experience. Where do you find in the congregation where young men and women of faith considering marriage, what greater counsel can you have but to go to one of the older men as well as older women and to seek to acquire all the knowledge you can of their experience, their counsel. There is much that they will be able to contribute, much that they will be able to say. When is it that the older men are viewed in such great regard that they are constantly active in the edification of the body? Yes, says the apostle, when you speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And listen, you teach the older men to be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, because you see, they should be teachers of good things, not simply examples. That is part of it. We're all to be examples of grace, but they are to be teachers. Isn't that sad? When you have a congregation where older men just sit, no contribution, nothing said, no one comes their way. They're lonely. They feel like they're over the hill, just waiting for glory. No usefulness in the church. Because, you see, there's such a misconception. And there is such a waste in the church. No. Older men have a very, very important place in teaching of good things. We'll see that as he goes on, he also treats the older women. And he becomes a little bit more definitive when it comes to what the older women and their purpose and how they contribute to the body of Christ, which we will see in time. But I just wanted to focus this morning on the older men. Now this means, as far as the older men, that you must seek to be sober. What do you portray? Do you portray a reverent spirit? Are you sound in faith? Do you express your love and patience? Sometimes it works the other way. Sometimes older men can say, well, it is so simple, that problem. Why is it that that young believer can't just shape up and get going here? So simple. Well, yeah, you've had a lifetime of experience. It's easy to you at the end of the road, not understanding that at the beginning, these are things that are not experienced by the younger and can take them by surprise. Patience. Patience. Love. And you see, if the older men are exercising love, love will mean that the older men will go to the younger, will offer their counsel. They will be ones who will be much engaged, not always sitting back and simply waiting for people to come to them, but having this call and responsibility that they must understand. A ministry that in many ways only the older men can do, only the older women can do. Understand that. Sometimes the older men and older women are in activity of ministry that even a pastor is at a loss, depending on his age. So this is what Paul is beginning to show. And as he progresses in chapter 2, He will address all areas and all parties within the congregation, where He will show where everyone has their place. Everyone has their ministry. And you cannot in any one of these areas of ministry discount and throw it aside. So this is the older men that we are considering. Sound doctrine. Only sound doctrine. Only the Word of God, blessed by the Spirit of God, will make a man sober, reverent, sound. Can't be sound in faith apart from Holy Scripture and truth. You can't have love unless it is fueled by the Word of God. Patience. All of these characteristics. Later he will describe a little bit more regarding the older men, but this is simply to show their character and simply to show how they should be in their own conduct, in their own life. And these are aspects that will make them really fruitful when they come to the area of teaching good things. And the good things, of course, is the Word of God. The good things is what God has shown to them by way of His Word, and shown to them by way of experience. One of the things we would really ask as we go through these different areas and groups within the church, what are you doing as older men in the congregation? Have you ever thought of your ministry? Have you thought that you had nothing to give? Have you thought that all that God has taught you, that it was okay that it would be wasted and thrown aside? That's a sinful attitude. The church, you see, if it is to be established, if it is to be edified, it will need all the different areas and people functioning as they should. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he speaks regarding the people of God, he says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, everyone within the body, not just some, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So the old men are very necessary. They are part of that work, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And what is the effect of it? Causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the older men, they should take the attitude and the position. Just listen. It is upon me in this congregation to establish growth and to see growth manifested in the congregation. It's my responsibility as part of the work. I cannot sit back and say, well, let the younger do it. Everyone will have their task, and we shall see that as we go through chapter 2 here in Titus. May God grant to us the spirit of ministry. And as far as the younger in grace, it is to your loss if you do not take advantage of what God has done in the life of older men in grace and in experience. It is to your loss Don't complain to God that you long to be holy and that He would make you holy when you deny this very important area that God has provided. As if God would say, what? You want to be holier and yet you don't take advantage of the gifts that I've given to the church? Well, what gift is that? The older men who are sober. The older men who are reverent, temperate, sound in faith. I have given them this grace. They are conducting themselves. And it is for you. And it is for your benefit. What? You don't take advantage of that? May it not be, but as we go through this, that every single group within the congregation are taking advantage of all the other groups, all the other ones in the congregation. We move together. We function in unity. It's like a well-oiled machine in that every cylinder is functioning. Every person is contributing. And there is this intense desire that all be done for the glory of God Almighty, who has saved us and redeemed us in grace. May that be our desire together. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the older men in the congregation. We thank you for all that you have taught them. We thank you for all that you have shown them. Lord, that we might benefit. And those of us who are older, may we see our purpose and may we contribute, may we be active, not lay back, not dormant. But Lord, grant to us this desire to be part of your work and part of your ministry. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us. May we take full advantage of your grace and of your mercy. In your name, amen.